The Wisconsin legislature's Joint Finance Committee took its first actions on the state's next biennial budget over the course of the last week or so. In a 12-4 party line vote, the committee removed 545 proposals and more than $4.5 billion from Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal. On Monday, we heard from a Democratic member of Joint Finance, State Senator LaTanya Johnson from Milwaukee. You can listen to that interview online at WPR.org/Central Time. Our next guest is a Republican state senator from Central Wisconsin and a member of the Joint Finance Committee, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your top priorities for Wisconsin's budget, spending, and taxes as well? What do you think about the way Wisconsin state budget is built? Do you have thoughts on the state's estimated $7 billion budget surplus and what, if anything, should be done with it? Call in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions for our guest. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Joan Ballweg has represented the 14th State Senate District in Central Wisconsin since 2021. Before that, she served in the State Assembly and was mayor of Marcuson. Senator Ballweg also serves on the Joint Finance Committee. Senator Ballweg, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
Now, your party has a majority in both chambers and, of course, on Joint Finance, but there's a Democrat in the governor's office now. Can you talk about your role in Joint Finance in coming up with a budget that's going to pass the legislature and get signed off on by the governor?
Well, hopefully the governor is going to see that it's a worthy budget that's good for all of Wisconsin, just as he did in the last two budget cycles were signed, with, of course, some vetoes. There isn't there's hardly a time when a governor hasn't used his powerful veto pen to make some changes. But I think in the end, we'll come together. The governor will see that we can work together to get this moving forward.
Last week, the Joint Finance Committee agreed to build the budget from a base, meaning the current biennial budget, and voted to take a lot of items out of consideration from the governor's proposal. Can you talk about that foundation, using the current plan and working from there versus starting with the governor's plan? Why that decision?
Certainly. So it is traditional in both with Republican and Democratic governors that the majority party has looked to put us back, take out the policy items that are in the budget. What we passed last week was going back to the base budget, but then adding back in all of the revenue estimates, the things that need to keep things going just as they are with, covering our debt service, all of those kinds of things. So that was added in, and we'll go from there. Now, when it comes to many of these policy items that were taken out of the budget, the philosophy is that instead of hiding them or tucking them away in the state budget, that if they're worthy to become law and become policy in Wisconsin, they should go through the regular legislative process, have the advocates be able to come in and address specifically whatever those items have to happen to be in standing committees, go through both houses of the legislature, and then the governor has the choice to either forward that, make that law, or veto it. And we just believe that's a better way to make policy. It's much more transparent.
There seems to be some agreement with the notion that with the state budget surplus, there ought to be some kind of tax cuts. The governor's budget proposal had included a tax cut for people making less than, I think it was $100,000, couples earning less than $150,000. I believe Joint Finance took that out. What is your vision for taxes in the budget?
Well, I think similar to what we've done in the last several budgets is to flatten those taxing levels, those taxing rates. Now, Majority Leader LeMahieu has put forward a process which has gone through the first phase of having a public hearing. And I think at this point he realizes that we're not quite ready to do that, but we do need to keep up with our neighboring states that are going to flatter taxes, so that we are not holding back folks that want to come to Wisconsin and invest in Wisconsin. So I think there will be income tax reductions in this budget, and I hope that is a way that we do it, by making those levels a little flatter than what they have been.
Then a bunch of items from the governor's proposed education budget were cut out, including a good amount of money, about $250 million for mental health services in schools. What are your thoughts for education funding and mental health in schools in particular?
Well, altogether, the governor's budget and the DPI budget, you know, is in the area of $2.7 million. Now, I know everyone talks about we have this $7.1 billion surplus, but most of that, a good share of that, is one-time money. So we should be investing in things that are one-time efforts. That's why I think you see a very serious effort in trying to do some catch-up when it comes to our municipalities and our counties, when it comes to shared revenue. So that is a big part of our interest right now. Same thing, the governor had $2 billion in cash in his capital budget. So there's a lot of ways that we can spend one-time money. Now, we have been increasing the subsidies when it comes to mental health support, not only in our schools, but for our counties that are responsible for a lot of that, for both our adult population and so those with disabilities. So we continue to take a look at that piece of the budget. And then when it comes to schools, in addition, over the last several budgets, not the last one, because the ESSER money or the federal money was put into the schools, we have continued to increase our support for special needs students in our schools. I see that we'll be continuing to do that, and we'll take a look again at some increases in per pupil funding and maybe raising something I would like to do, especially would affect the vast majority of school districts in the 14th Senate District, is increase the floor of spending levy limits for our school districts.
Talking to State Senator Joan Baldwin, Republican on the Joint Finance Committee, looking at the big news in the state budget and related issues. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Let's go to our callers now. Mike starts us off in Wauwatosa. Mike, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Mike?
I believe that we should take a billion or two of that surplus and put it into infrastructure. Well, one-third infrastructure and two-thirds roads, because the roads around here are terrible.
Mike, thanks for the call. Senator Baldwin, I know you have your eyes on roads, especially ones that farmers rely on to transport their goods. Your thoughts for Mike?
Well, certainly when Mike talks about infrastructure, I think that goes to putting some of this cash into the building commission projects, which many of them have to do with our university academic buildings, some of the reimagining for how we might be using our state office buildings also. There are some proposals when it comes to that. Our state historic society is looking for some additional cash to put into that project as well, among many others. And as you mentioned, there is a proposal that I am supporting that is being led by Senator Markwein in the Senate, which is a special allocation for $150 million that would take a look at finding high priority roads in our rural areas that are going to support our agricultural community. Because we've heard from our local municipalities, and mainly the towns, that as equipment gets bigger, as the milk trucks get bigger, it takes beating on the road. So if we can identify and beef up the specifications of some of those roads, it'd be good for Wisconsin agriculture, the second leading economic driver here in the state.
Mike, thanks for that call. Mac is with us now in Milwaukee. Mac, hello.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Mac. You're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering, I was happy your guest brought up shared revenue. I was wondering, my only guess as to why Milwaukee would get so much less than the residents of small towns and municipalities is because the budget committee knows that it's impossible to have both low density and low taxes while maintaining high services. So this is like a surcharge on high density areas to pay for services in low density areas. But I'm not sure why the guests, what the guests answer for why Milwaukee gets so little money in shared revenue.
Mac, thanks for the call. As Senator Bowick, Mac, bring up, of course, the shared revenue, a big fiscal item that's outside of the budget, at least at present. And some analyses, have shown that small communities get really big percentage increases, while the Milwaukee's, Green Bay's, and some other cities get about a 10% increase. What are your thoughts for Mac?
Well, if you take a look at the big picture of what's been happening in the past, that those towns were not getting their fair share when it came to shared revenue all along the way. You know, when Mac and someone comes up to our lakes and rivers on vacation and they call 911, they expect the same kind of service that they had when they're in the city. And with being a mainly volunteer-based system over the years, we just can't sustain that anymore. So that's one of the areas that we really have been struggling in rural areas that we needed to beef up. But in general, if you look at the numbers, those rural areas have not been getting their share of all the money that was coming in and going out for shared revenue. So this is a bit of a catch-up with their with the surplus that we have available to us right now and going forward, in then using that shared revenue formula to make sure that when it's tied to increases in sales tax revenue, there will be a general increase. Not every year does sales tax go up, but the majority of years, and the municipalities and the counties and towns know that, they will be getting a natural increase also. So I think we're just trying to fare up some of those shared revenue allocations.
Mac, thanks for that call. We're talking to Republican State Senator Joan Bollweg, who represents the 14th Senate District. That includes Marquette and Green Lake counties, most of Columbia and Waupaca counties. She's one of 12 Republicans on the 16-member Joint Finance Committee. We're looking at the committee's ongoing work to build the next two-year state budget, plus that shared revenue overhaul. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your priorities for the new budget of Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with State Senator Joan Bollweg, one of a dozen Republicans on the 16-member Joint Finance Committee. We're looking at the process of building Wisconsin's next two-year budget. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your priorities, your questions. Let's go back to your calls now. Chris is with us in Black River Falls. Chris, hi.
Hi. I've been frustrated by the Republican budget for many years, but I have three things that I would really like to see Wisconsin invest in. Number one is, I believe it's the I-39 corridor, which heads north from Madison to the north central part of the state. I'd like to see that completed all the way to the Highway 2 as well. Duluth, Minnesota is increasing their port size to be able to receive more international shipping. So on the Superior side, we have the Fraser shipyards, which do a lot of the repair of those big ships and also help load. I'd like to see some money invested in expanding of that, and hopefully that would help expand business within the state.
Chris, I gotcha. Two big infrastructure items there, Senator Bollweg, 39 up to Highway 2 and the Port in Superior.
Well, there are some projects going on Highway 39, but they're a little bit south of you folks. We're focusing right now on that corridor that's going from Madison up through Wisconsin Dells. You're going to be seeing the expansion of those bridges so that they can do the expansion of the roads. I know I drive I-39 quite a bit when I'm coming from the Capitol and going up to the district, and so there's going to be a lot of construction going on right now through that corridor. And I am so on board with the idea of trying to get more capacity at our ports. There has been expansion at the Milwaukee port that is going to greatly help our agriculture industry. One of the bills I led that was in the budget last term and will be renewing it again this term is focusing on an increase of agricultural exports in Wisconsin. We've seen just in the 12 to 15 months it's been active an over 30% increase in the exports of dairy. But we have a lot of things that we could put onto the ports with our grains, with our wood products. I'd also like to see that we actually put in a container terminal somewhere here in the state so we don't have to keep trucking things down to the rail yards in Chicago. I think that would be also a great opportunity. And I have talked to both the Department of Transportation Secretary and the DATCAP Secretary about some of that planning that I think we need to get on. So I totally agree.
Chris, thanks for the call. Michael joins us now in Northwest Wisconsin. Michael, hi.
Hi there. About the Medicare expansion. I see it's been adopted by Republican and Democratic states alike because of like the expansion of services and subsidies. And it has continued to be rejected in Wisconsin.
Michael, thanks for the call. I don't know if you could hear the line while Senator Bolick talking about the Medicaid expansion. Wisconsin, one of a handful of states, not taking it. I don't know if that's in Republicans' plans, but I know you have an interest in a particular thing when it comes to postnatal care.
That's right. So here in Wisconsin, we do have a more generous participation for postpartum care in Wisconsin with folks that are at 306% of the federal poverty limit. And right now, last budget we passed that there should be a 90-day coverage. CMS in Washington, D.C. has not authorized that at this point. But what we're really looking for is 12 months. There is just so much science on trying to make sure that mom and baby, who is also covered if they are Medicare eligible, up to those 12 months, that it would be a way for mom to stay healthier. And in pregnancies, we see some chronic conditions that are exacerbated, and they don't go away the day the baby is born. So we need to be able to keep track of moms, especially if they're having some issues. And then we don't see the effects or the onset of postpartum depression within those first 3 months usually either. There, a lot of times it's not happening until 6 months or after. So being able to have consistent care is something that we really think is important. It was back in 2018 when I started taking a look at this when it comes to maternal morbidity. We had a DHS study, and that council came together and said that this expansion is something that is one of their key elements in trying to help moms be healthier. And of course, it's healthier for a family and for a young one when mom is there. And so that is the focus that I have right now to drill down and try to get to a 12-month postpartum coverage. We have 69 co-sponsors in the legislature. We have over 40 organizations that are out there knocking on doors around the Capitol, encouraging their legislators to support this. And I hope it's going to happen this term.
And to our caller's wider point, Wisconsin, again, is one of the states that hasn't expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Governor Evers has proposed it in his budget, taken back out in joint finance. What's your case for not taking that expansion of federal Medicaid funding?
Well, we have done things a little bit differently in Wisconsin when that came up back under the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. And yes, there would be more folks that would be covered because it does take that eligibility up to 138% of the federal poverty limit. But you know, that's not free. There is money that is that does have to go out of the state coffers to pay for that. But what we're really proud of is that of the 10 states that haven't expanded, we're the only state in the nation, expanded or not, having no coverage gaps. And so our theory is we're covering individuals up to 100% of the federal poverty level. And at that point, folks are eligible to go onto the federal exchange and then eligible for the federal subsidy. So in other words, let's not make Wisconsin the middleman and have folks go to the exchange where they can get those direct federal subsidies based on what their income level is and what their premiums would be.
Thanks again for that call. It's Senator Ballwig. Thanks again for joining us today.
Happy to be with you anytime.
That's State Senator Joan Ballwig. She represents the 14th Senate District in central Wisconsin. She joined us today with a look at ongoing state budget deliberations and some of the top priorities in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Earlier this week, I talked to a Democratic member of the Joint Finance Committee, State Senator LaTanya Johnson. You can find that interview online at WPR.org/Central Time. A lot of callers. Sorry to those who didn't get onto the air. But if you have a question, some particular aspect of the state budget, whether it's the process and how it works or a particular line item, something you're wondering about why more money isn't being spent on or less money or about taxes, let us know. And we can maybe key in on that in a future conversation. Email us right now, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.